Today's daf is Gittin Daf Beis, and we are Be'ezus Hashem in the beginning of a new Mesechta, Mesechta's Gittin. Today's daf is being learned for Ilui Nishmas, Reb Tzvi Hersh, ben Reb Yosef Pinchas Halevi. So, just a brief introduction to Mesechta's Gittin. Mesechta's Gittin deals with the laws of Gerushin, the laws of divorce. Now that's Pashit. If a man and woman are married and they decide that they want to part ways, they can't just agree to disagree and each live their own lives. Rather, they have to engage in a contract, in a process that's known as Gerushin. And really, the avoda of Mesechta's Gittin is to understand all the different halachas that pertain to a get, all the different halachas that pertain to Gerushin. I think in order to properly appreciate what Gerushin is, we first have to properly appreciate what marriage is. So marriage in halacha is made up of two components. It's made up of Kedushin, also known as Erusin, and it's made up of Nisuin. Kedushin, first Mishnah of Kedushin says, Va'isha niknes bekesef b'shtar or bia. Nisuin, that interestingly is not mentioned anywhere in Chazal in terms of what exactly it is. As a result, there's a big machloikus apoiskim exactly how nisuin happens, and it's for that reason when you go to a chasana, there's a badekin, and there's a yichud room, and there's a chuppah, and there's a lot of different things happening. And the reason is because we're trying to be yotze all the different shitas, because we're not 100% sure exactly how nisuin happens. But the point is, if a man and a woman are married, kedas moishu v'yisrael, the halacha is if they now want to terminate that marriage, they have to engage in the process of gerushin. So, kedushin can happen either b'kesef, b'shtar, or b'biyah. Nisuin, a big mavucha. How exactly does a man divorce his wife? There's one way and one way only. And that is, the man would have to write a document, a shtar. The toichin, the content of the shtar, basically says that even though we were married, however, moving forward, we will no longer be married. Hareyat muteres l'chaladam, etc., etc., etc. He hands it over to the woman. They become legally divorced. The parasha of Gerushin is mentioned in the Torah. It's in Parshas Ki Tse, and really, there's a few words that encapsulate all the different halachas that the Mesechta pivots on. Now, if you look at the more general context, it's not a few words, it's a few psukim, but as we'll see, there's more than just Dine Gerushin that are mentioned in the parasha of Gerushin. There's some other halachas there as well. And I just think as a hakdama, the hakdama is going to be brief, it's worth just chazering over literally, Shnayim Mikra, the Echa Targum Dig, the few psukim in the Torah, just to get a feel for the Mesechta. The Pasuk says as follows. This is Perichov Dalet Pasuk Aleph, it's Parshas Kiseitze. Ki Yikach Ish Isha Uba'ala, if a man's going to marry a woman, V'hoye Imloisim Sochein Be'enav, immediately, in the event that he is not going to anymore have any chain by this woman, Ki Motzava Ervas Dover, because he found that she engaged in an Ervas Dover, the Kostab Law Sefer Krisos, he should write a Sefer Krisos, what we know as a get, the Nasa Biyada, he should hand it over to her, the Shulchan Mibesai, and send her away from his house. Viyatza Mibesai, Vaholcha Vahoysalishach, this woman wants, she can now leave the house of her husband and she can marry another man. Meaning a divorced woman is allowed to remarry. She can't marry a Koyan. But if she wants to get married to someone that's not a kohen, that's of course something that she's allowed to do. Says the pasuk, what happens if usneya ho ish ha'acharoin? The second husband also didn't like this woman. Because of law sefer krisos, v'nosan v'yodah v'sholcha mibesach, tzim tzveitin mo, shnayim ikon. So he then goes and he does the same exact thing. Or if maybe that second husband will die, says the Torah, very important halacha. The original husband is not allowed to remarry his wife. Being that she was married to somebody else in the interim, ki toyevo hi lefnei Hashem, this goes into the halachas that are considered toyevo, but leisachati es ha'oretz asher Hashem lekecha noisim l'chol u'nachla. This is a very chomer diga iser, and as a result, a person has to be careful that if he marries somebody, divorces her, she marries somebody else, even though right now she's not an eishes ish anymore, because her second husband gave her a get, or because he died, it doesn't matter, lo yuchal bai l'harishan asher shulcha l'ashu l'kach l'lias l'isha, it's what we know as the love of Machzor Gerushin. So really, if you go through the parasha of Gerushin, it's one parasha, but there's three different, very important halachas that the Torah is teaching us. Number one, the Iker Parasha of Kedushin is in the Parasha of Gerushin. Number two, the Parasha of Gerushin. Number three, the Lav of Machzir Rishas. As it relates to In Yoneinu, what we need to become very, very, very familiar with, it's not hard, is a few words. The Kosav Lo Sefer Krisos, the Nosam Biyodo, the Shulchan Ibeisa. That one pasuk really, in a nutshell, summarizes what exactly, again, is. It summarizes what Gerushin is. It summarizes the backdrop for the entire Masechtas Gittin. So just a few basic halachas that we need to know that come out from this pasuk that is a hakdama to the Masechta and is also a hakdama to the first staff that we're about to learn. Number one, the Torah says, V'kosav lo. Who's the Torah talking to? The man that's married. Ki kachesh isha, V'kosav lo. He should go and he should write the get. Midai raisa and midrabono. The husband has to be the one to write the get. So if a man wants to get divorced, he would physically need to sit down and he would need to write a get. Now, not every man that wants to get divorced is necessarily capable of writing a get. Stating that, everyone knows the halacha is shlucha shalavim kamaisa. So the husband can appoint the shliach, and based on the chiddush haTorah of shlichus, that shliach will be able to write the get on his behalf. But this is very important. Even though in most gerushin situations, there's a sofer that's writing the get, but it's not because the sofer could write the get. He's acting with power of attorney. He is a shliach of the husband. The husband was memanahim a shliach, and it's only for that reason that he can write it. So for example, someone that's not roy to be a shliach can't be a sofer for ksivas haget either. The reason is because it works with the parasha of shlichos, and as a result, it's only then that it would work. Why do you need a parasha of shlichos? Because the Torah says, because of law, that the husband should be the one that's going to write the get. And being that it's the husband that's the one that's going to write the get, the only way someone else can do it is if it works with the parasha of shlichos, if he would appoint him to do it. The Torah says, because of law, he should write it for her. Now, obviously, for his wife, that he wants to divorce. What's the dagush of the kasav law? So Chazal learned, again, a very important halacha that's going to play itself out in the first sugya of Masechtas Gittin, and that is, law means lishma. So that when the husband writes the get, he has to write it with a kavana of lishma. So just like in Kachin, there's a halacha that shchita, kabbalah, halacha, zrikat, avoidas have to be done lishma. Ksivas haget, which incidentally is mentioned in Zvachim Daf Beis, is also something that has to be written l'shma. So it has to be written l'shem isha zu, l'shem gerushin. The kavana of l'shma is something that's ma'akiv in ksivas haget. The pasuk says that the get is a sefer krisos. So sefer just means it's a document. It doesn't have to be a whole book, but it has to be a sefer. In fact, there are halachas that we learn out from the fact that the Torah refers to a get isha as a sefer because it actually sounds like it's not just a document. It sounds like on some level it is a sefer. We'll see halachas in the coming days. But the point is, the Torah refers to it as a sefer. It's interesting. We refer to a get isha as a get. First Tosafot Masechtas Gittin says that it's a little bit of a misnomer, right? If somebody says, what's a get? You say, what do you mean? That's a bill of divorce. It's the wrong answer. A get really is a document. In fact, you find Gittin Mamon that are mentioned in several places in Shas. The proper way to say a bill of divorce would be referring to it as a get isha. But Tosafot says that being that Roiv Gittin are get isha, and most places, the more accurate way to say it, that you find the word get mentioned in Chazal, it's referring to a get isha. So therefore, it became shogur b'thiv that if you find stam get in Shas, it's referring to a get isha. And if you want to say a legal contract type of document, you would have to explain yourself. You would have to say a get mamon. It's interesting that we learn halachas from the fact that a get isha is called a get also. Meaning, just like we learn halachas from the fact that the Torah refers to a get as a sefer, we learn halachas from the fact that Chazal referred to a get as a get. What's the halacha? Tosfos says that the minhag is that a get should have yud beis shurois. There should be 12 lines. Why? Because it's the gematria of the word get. So here you have a gematria of an Aramaic word. But it's the gematria of the word get, and that's why the minhag is that a get should be made up of 12 lines. If you do it, that the Vilna Gaon said a different reason why we use the word get to explain a bill of divorce. The Gaon said because there's two letters that you find in the Torah that never come together. A gimel and a tes. You can go through Gans Tanakh they never come together. And that's why Chazal used the word get to describe a bill of divorce, to show this inyan that they give him the test, they have pirud, because he never find these letters together. Reb Chaim Kanievsky, incidentally, in the Sefer Time of the Gra, in Parshas Kiseitza, he brings the Vilna Gaon, and he's ma'orer on the Gra, he says that, the mechilas kvoy teirasei shel hagra, tzorichin, because I found other letters that also never come together. A gimel and a kuf, a zayin and a tes, a zayin and an ended tzaddik, a zayin and a samach, and a samach and an ended tzaddik. So, we'll take the God of Adar, Reb Chaim, Sefer Tzadik, the Brachos worked for it. But he said, these letters never come together anywhere. He said, Sarachin. The Vilna Gaon said, it's called a get because these two letters never come together. I found other two letters that never come together. So Reb Chaim said, Mistamad Achazog and Elephant Svezachin. Other, this is just a nice of the geremes for why it's get. Maybe not the Iker reason. Because in addition to the Pashup Shat, you also find this Indian that the Gimel and the Tes don't come together. And he says, also, this is the first two. So if you were going to go in order, so Gimel was obviously the first letter. Gimel Tes, even though it's Gimel Kuf, but Kuf comes after Tes, and as a result, maybe that's the Pshat, but this is Reb Chaim Zahara in time of the draw. So that's what we learn from the Kosav La Sefer Krisos. The Torah says, after the man writes the get, v'nasam b'yado, he has to take the get, and he has to hand it to the woman. Pretty clear that the husband has to be the one to take the get, and he has to give it to who? Yada. It's referring to the woman. Stating that, based on the halach of Shluchei Shaladim Kemoise, we learned that if the husband doesn't want to be the one to give the get, that's okay. He can appoint the shliach. And if the woman doesn't want to be the one to receive the get, that's also okay. She can also appoint the shliach. When the husband appoints a shliach, it's known in the vernacular as a shliach lahilacha. When the woman appoints a shliach, it's known in the vernacular as a shliach lekabbalah. But again, the only reason it's happening this way is based on the halach of shlichos. So midday rice, so the husband would sit down, he would write the get, then he would pick up the get, he would hand it to the woman. But doesn't have to be that way, and usually isn't that way. So it's perfectly okay if a sofer writes the get, and then a shliach lailacha takes it and gives it to a shliach the kabbalah. The husband's nowhere in sight, the woman's nowhere in sight. But at the same time, this is all working with power of attorney. It's working with the parasha of shlichos, and based on the parasha of shlichos, this is something that's okay. One other halacha that I think is worth mentioning before we start the masechta, and that is that a very, very critical part of a get are the eidim. You can't divorce a woman unless there are eidim that witness this divorce. Now, to be clear, the hilchas eidus of gerushin is a little bit different than the hilchas eidus, for example, of dinei mamonos. So, for example, when it comes to a financial transaction, there's a concept that eidim play a very important role. Dava sheva mamon requires two eidim. But the chazal say, le'ivri sahadi elo l'shakri. The only reason you need eidim is just in case there's going to be a dispute. If a person is involved in a business transaction and he has documents to prove it, he can take those documents, put them away, and hopefully he'll never have to look at them. The only reason he has them is l'yivri sahadi, ela l'shakri, because in the event that someone's going to tie him a mezuyah, or he's going to claim like this, he'll be able to pull out the shtar and the document he has to show that it's not true. You can't deny it. This is something that absolutely positively happened. When it comes to gerushin, the mechayv of eidus is a little bit different. You need eidim in order to create a gerushin. If there were no eidim present at the gerushin, then the halacha is the gerushin is nitkan gerushin. It has nothing to do with just having a backup plan in the event that someone's going to come and is going to be ma'arer and is going to say that this get never really happened. The hilchos eidus is something that we need in order to create the gerushin. It's what's known in yeshiva as eidus l'kiyume. You need the eidim to be makayim the gerushin. This is true for kedushin as well. You have to have eidim kedushin under the chuppah. You can't say no one was ever ma'arer that this marriage happened. As a result, they can be no. If there's no eidim, then there's no marriage. If there's no eidim, there's no gerushin. Stating that is a big time machloikis tana, maybe the most important machloikis in Masechtas Gittin, that discusses what exactly that machayev of eidim is. The mayor held that the eidim that shaf the gerushin are the eidim chasima, the eidim that sign on the shtar. The shtar, the sefer krisos, the get isha, is what's being kairos, being ish l'isha. And eidim need to sign on that, and it's the eidim that sign on that that are mekayim the gerushin. Rabbi Loza argued. Rabbi Loza said, eidim mesira karsi. It's the eidim that witnessed the v'nosam b'yado. Those eidim are the ones that are mekayim the gerushin. So there's two components, two very, very distinct components that underpin every single get isha. There's the Vekasav La Sefer Krisus number one, and there's the Venasam Biyada number two. The Machlokes Mamei Rabbi Elazar is, where do you need the Eidim to be Mekayim everything, to be Mekayim this entire situation? According to Rav Meir, it's the Eidei Chasimo, it's the Eidim on the Vekasav La Sefer Krisus. According to Rabbi Elazar, it's the Eidim Mesiru, it's the Eidim on the Venasam Biyada. Either way, that's the abbreviated introduction to Mesechtas Gittim, Ezras Hashem, as we go through the Mesechta and we embark on different sugyas. We'll talk a little bit more about Divrei Kabbalah, Divrei Hakdama, but for now, we begin one of the most famous Mishnayos in Shas, a Mishnah that most people learn when they're in Cheder, and that is the first Mishnah of Mesechtas Gittim. Zok the Mishnah, Amevi Get, Mi Medina Sayon. So Rashi says, we're talking about where there was a Shliach Lahilach that was appointed by the husband to bring a get to his wife. Now, the husband was where? He was in Medina Sayyam. Medina Sayyam means chutzlars. But Tosfos says that, notice, the Mishnah didn't say chutzlars. The Mishnah said Medina Sayyam. And really, the Mishnah is trying to say that this person wasn't just outside the borders of Eretz Yisrael, but he was far away. He was in Medina Sayyam. And he sent now a get, where? To Eretz Yisrael. The woman's in Eretz Yisrael. This man is away, decides he wants to divorce his wife. He's not going to go to Eretz Yisrael, but he's going to make the shliach to do it. Okay, so far so good. Writes the shtar, he appoints the shliach, the shliach's going to give it to her, everything is good. Zok the Mishnah, there's a very important takonos chacham. The shliach, when he arrives and he gives over the get, at the time of the Mesiras HaGet, he needs to say the following magic words. Befanai nechtav, ubefanai nechtav. I saw this get written in front of me, and I saw the Edom sign on the get in front of me as well. Rabbi Gamliel, said that this halach is not only true if somebody brings a get from Medina Sayyam, he brings it from far away in Chutz Laretz. But Afa Mevi min HaRekem min HaCheger, even if he would bring it from Rekem and Cheger, so the Gemara is going to say Rekem and Cheger were parts of Chutz Laretz, but they were samuch to Eretz Yisrael. They were close by. So it doesn't need to be from Medina Sayyam in order for this halacha to be true. But if you would bring it even from Rekem and Chege, you would have the same halacha that Tzorach Shiyoyim HaBafanai Nechtav HuBafanai Nechtav. Rabbi Eliezer said, Afilu Mikfar Ludim Lulud. Not only if you bring it from Rekem and Chege, but even if you bring it from Kfar Ludim, and you're bringing it to Lud. So what's unique about Kfar Ludim? Kfar Ludim was also like Rekem and Chege. It was very close to Eretz Yisrael, but it was also Muvla in Eretz Yisrael. So that it was like an island almost, just to picture it a little bit, where you're surrounded by Eretz Yisrael, but really you're not part and parcel of Eretz Yisrael. Tosfos says even more than that, Kfar Ludim was like a suburb of Lud. So that even if you're bringing it from Kfar Ludim to Lud, where, number one, it's not just Medina Sayyam, it's not just Samuch, but it's even Muvla. More about this in the Gemara. And your mom is bringing it from the suburb to the more metropolitan part of this area. Even then, you have this takana where you have to say b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtav. Chamim oimim lechachamim. Say, ein etzorach shiyoyim b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtav. The only time you have to say b'fanai nechtav is el ha-mevi medina sayom. If you bring it from medina sayom, ve-ha-moylech. And if someone's moylech, what this all means, the Gemara is going to explain. Va-mevi medina le-medina medina sayom. What if somebody brings from one medina to another medina in medina sayom? So he's going from medina to medina within medina sayom. Says the Mishnah, etzorach shiyoyim b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtav. Then two. They have to say b'fanai nech, b'fanai nech. Reb Shimon Gamliel said, "Afilu mehagmunya lahagmunya." So the Gemara is going to explain what this means. But Rashi gives us a little bit of a time, and that is that even if you have one medina, this is one medina in Medina Sayyam. However, there's a wall, a proverbial division within the city, so that people can't just freely travel from one part of the city to the other part of the city. One is controlled by one hagmunya, and the other one is controlled by another hagmunya. So even then, the halach would be, if you're going from part A of the city to part B, you have to say, b'fanai nech, b'fanai nech. Rabbi Yehuda said, me'rekem ha-mizrach. If you want to know the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, so to the eastern part of Eretz Yisrael, the boundary is rekem. That's the cutoff line. The rekem itself is k'mizrach. That's treated like mizrach. Me'ashkeloin l'darim. Ashkelon is the border to Darim, and again, the Ashkelon Kedarim. Ashkelon is treated like Darim, meaning it's not part of Eretz Yisrael. May Akko Lutzafon. Akko is the border on the northern part of Eretz Yisrael. The Akko Lutzafon, and Akko is Latzafon. Ramei said, Akko carries the Yisrael to Gittin. I disagree. Akko has been in Eretz Yisrael as it relates to Gittin. What about Meiriv? Meiriv was noticeably omitted from the Mishnah, so it it's Rechem on Mizrach, it's Ashkelon and Dorim, and it's Akkad and Tzofen. Okay, there's north, east, south, and west. We left out west. So Rashi says that as it relates to Meirif Shel Eretz Yisrael, Ein Tzorich Gvul, you don't need to mention the boundary. Shayam HaGodol Gvulo, because the Yam HaGodol, the Mediterranean Sea, that's the Gvul of the western part of Eretz Yisrael. Everybody knows that, and as a result, the Mishnah didn't even have to get involved in that. One last halacha, maybe get the Eretz Yisrael. Somebody brings a get from Eretz Yisrael. Ein Tzorich Shayam Rabbefanei Nechta, Bavefanei Nechta. So if someone brings a get from Medina Sayam, Tzorich Shayam Rabbefanei Nechta, Bavefanei Nechta. Medina, Medina, Hagmunya, Lagmunya, Samuch Muvla, etc. Yeah. But if somebody brings a get from Eretz Yisrael, then you don't have to say b'fanei nechta, v'neish olav oirim. And if someone's going to come and be ma'irer and is going to say that the signatures of this get are not good signatures, yiskayim b'chaysamav, said then we'll be mekayim b'chaysamav, and then we'll try to figure out whether, in fact, this person that's being ma'irer is telling the truth, or this person that's being ma'irer is not telling the truth. I think it's kedai to speak out the first line of the bottom toisus on the Yom, only because it segues very much into the first Gemara that we're going to learn. So the Mishnah said, if somebody brings a get Medina Sayam, Tzorich Shiyoyim HaBafanei Nechta, B'fanei Nechta. Up until this point, we don't even really know what that means. But there's such a halacha, and there's a machloik, is what the definition of Chutz La'aretz is, as relates to this halacha. If somebody brings a get from Eretz Yisrael, there is no such takana of B'fanei Nechta, B'fanei Nechta. Okay, we don't even know what it means. So the fact that you don't have this takana doesn't sound like such a big deal. Then the Mishnah says, but if somebody will come and be Ma'ayr, and he's going to say, you have a get that says that this man divorced his wife. What are you talking about? It's mezuyif. It's not true. And yeshal of iron. If people will be ma'irin, then yiskayim b'chersom. Tosfos speaks out that this halach is really a very big chiddush. Why? Because the halach is that if somebody has a shtar that says that somebody sold something to him or that he loaned money to somebody, even if there's edim that are chsumin on the shtar, still the halach is you can't be goyva mammon with that shtar. They say, what do you mean? I have a shtar, I have edim on the shtar. What could possibly be better than that? There's a parasha called Kim Chesamis. You have to be Mekayim the Chesamis. There's a Takonas Chazal, it's a Din the Rabbanon, Kim Shtaris the Rabbanon, where in order for a shtar to be a kosher shtar, you have no choice, you have to be Mekayim this shtar. By a get isha, Zok Toysvis, I see in this Mishnah, there's no Takon of Kim Shtaris. Because if there was a takon of Kim Shtaris when it comes to a get isha, what's the Mishnah saying? Vimyesh all of Oirim is kind of Chaisamah. We can't get onto first base with this get unless you have Kim Shtaris. Just like you can't be goyva mammon from somebody with a shtar unless you're mekayim the shtar, how could this get isha be a fine document unless you have Kim Shtaris? The Teretz says Tosfos is that even though Chazal were misakin halach of kim shtaris, but they were only misakin kim shtaris for shtari mamon. But when it comes to a get isha, mishum iguna akilu bei rabbanon, and the rabbanon were mekel, and they said that a woman that has a get, we're not going to taina mezuyif, and we're not going to start getting all paranoid that maybe this shtar is really not a good shtar, and that's this diuk in the Mishnah. It's only vim yeshal of ayurim yiskayim b'chaysama. Ob es snok toisves avul kolz mandu lo yossi balu ma'ar. Nisis al pi aget, v'loi tanina mezuyif, the mishum aguna akil barabon. That's the first line in the bottom toisves of the Yom. Either way, so the Mishnah in a nutshell tells us the halacha of b'fanai nechta, u'b'fanai nechta, someone's maybe getting medina sayam, but not only me medina sayam, me medina le medina, me medina sayam, could be even ba'isa medina, if it's me agmunya la agmunya. The question is, what is this all about? Why would the shliach have to say b'fanai nechtav u b'fanai nechtam? What's the makar to this takana? And that brings us to the first gemara Masechtas Gittin. Again, this is classic ben benoy shel classic. It's machlokes rabbi and rava. What the yisoid of takanas chazal of b'fanai nechtav? So the gemara, my time. Why is there halacha that a baby gemara b'nasiyam has to say b'fanai nechtav? Rabbi, and the reason is b'fishayim b'kiyim l'shma. It's because the people in Medina Sayam, the people in Chutz La'aretz, the Soifrim, were not baki in the halacha that a get isha has to be written l'shma. It says the kasav law, law means l'shma. And they weren't baki in this halacha. And therefore, we were paranoid that maybe this get isha was not written l'shma. Therefore, Chazal made a takana that the shliach should say b'fanai nechta v'b'fanai nechta. And by saying that, we're going to know that the get isha was l'shma. So it's hard to even explain what the Gemara means. I think it's kedai to see the first Rashi in a minute. So it's the top Rashi on Daf Beis Amud Beis. L'fisha ein b'kiyum l'shma. Snuck Rashi. Ein b'nei Medina Sayam b'nei Torah. The Yidden in Medina Sayam, they were not b'nei Torah. The ein yoidin, they didn't know shetzorach l'chtav aget l'shem o'isha. They didn't know that again has to be written in l'shma. The crux of it says in the Torah, because of law, sefer krisos, law, da'im, l'shma. Hilka, therefore, oy ma shliach b'fanai nechta v'b'fanai nechta. The shliach says, I saw the get written and I saw the get signed. Here's the punchline.
We then ask this shliach in nichtav l'shma. Tell me, you saw it written? Really? Was it written l'shma? Voimer in, and he says, yeah. Oh, perfect. So, by him saying b'fanai nechtam, that will be the segue into our question. Was it written l'shma? Hopefully he'll say yes, and if he say yes, everything is going to be good. So Rashi will come in the farish. The Gemara is going to ask the rather obvious question: my time of loyatzrichu nami l'meim l'shma. If the whole purpose of saying b'fanai nechtav is because you want to ascertain that the get was written l'shma, so really it's ikar chasam and hasefer, pun intended, right? What you need him to say is b'fanai nechtav l'shma. So just say b'fanai nechtav l'shma. So Rashi, if this question is bothering you, I'm just giving you a heads up. You can breathe, the Gemara is going to ask this question. Incidentally, another obvious question the Gemara is going to ask is why is the eight saying b'fanai nechtam? The din is that the ksivas I get has to be l'shma, ostensibly. It says v'kosav lo. So why does he also have to say b'fanai nechtam? That also is going to be discussed very much in tomorrow's daf. Either way, so Rabbi said that what's the reason that you have to say b'fanai nechtam u b'fanai nechtam? The reason is l'fisha ein b'kiyum l'shma. And this is a way to find out for sure that this get was written l'shma. Rabba said, l'fisha ein eidim mitzurim l'kaima. He said a different reason. He says, you want to know why the shliach says, b'fanai nechtav u b'fanai nechtam? It's because this get is being brought from Medina Sayyam to Eretz Yisrael, which means that the eidim that signed on this get presumably live in Medina Sayyam, which is very far away from Eretz Yisrael. If the husband at some point is going to come and he's going to be ma'arer and he's going to say that this get is not a good get, now what? You're going to have to do kiyum shtaris. We said there's a chiddush, you don't have to preempt the kiyum shtaris. But if the husband is ma'ara, then of course you'll have to do kiyum shtaris. How do you do kiyum shtaris? We figure out that these are real signatures. You have to know the people. This is one person lives in France, the other person lives in Czechoslovakia. You don't even know where these people are. So you're going to have to go now do kiyum shtaris. Go find these people. So therefore, to preempt it, Chazal said the shliach should say b'fanai nechtav u'b'fanai nechtam. And when the shliach says b'fanai nechtam, that blinds to him shtaris, so that if the husband's going to come later and he's going to be married, his ear is not going to help. This too will be discussed extensively in the Gemara. Either way, so we have two taimim, Rabba and Rava. Why exactly? And maybe get the Yisrael has to say b'fanai nechtav u'b'fanai nechtam. According to Rava, it's because of the issue of l'shma. According to Rava, it's based on the fact that we're concerned that the husband will be ma'arev. It's going to be very difficult to do kiyum shtaris. So because there are no eidim that are mitzurim l'kaimai, that's the reason Chazal made this takana. Zok tigor my beinayu. What's the nafkemino between these two taimim? Zok tigor ikke beinayu. Three nafkeminas. Number one, that's your beitre. What would be if you had not one shliach bring the ged, but there were two shluchim, two people came together? Would they have to say b'faneinu nechtav u'b'faneinu nechtam, or would they not have to say it? And the way Rashi explains the Gemara, according to Rabba, that the chashash of the became l'shma, so it doesn't matter if one person brings it, two people bring it, or 50 people bring it. At the end of the day, we still need to know that this get was written l'shma. And as a result, they would have to say, b'faneinu nechtav u'b'faneinu nechtav. However, according to Rabba, that it's all based on a chashash, that what happens if right now the husband comes to be ma'ar, so we're not so worried. The reason we're not so worried is we have two people there, so those people will be able to be mekayim the shtar, and therefore you don't have to say b'fanei nechtav. As I saw Rashi, for Tosfos, I don't understand Pashup Shah. What, these two people that just said b'fanei nechtav are going to be incarcerated until we figure out whether this husband is going to be ma'ar or he's not going to be otu b'kifa? Tosfos says, what, we have them locked up here? What happens if in 3 months from now the husband comes, he's be ma'ar, and now all of a sudden these people went back to Medina Sayyam, so how are you going to go find them? So Tais says a different shot that's really based on a Gemara later, something that we're not going to talk about right now. But that's the first nafkamina. The first nafkamina is that's Yuva Beitre. If there were two shluchim that came and said, b'faneinu nechta, b'faneinu nechta. Second nafkamina, inami, mi Medina le Medina be'eretz Yisrael. What happens if the get was brought from one Medina to another Medina in Eretz Yisrael? So the Mishnah talked about a Medina le Medina b'chutz la'aretz. What if it was mi Medina le Medina in Eretz Yisrael as well? What's the cheshbon? According to Rabba, that you say b'fanai nechtav u'b'fanai nechtav fisha in b'kiyum l'shma, in Eretz Yisrael there will be kiyum l'shma. There's no reason to say b'fanai nechtav u'b'fanai nechtav. However, according to Rabba, that it's based on fisha in Edom, it's possible within two regions in Eretz Yisrael, such as the northern region and the southern region. Again, this will all play itself out in the coming dafin. So could be, then there would make sense that there should be a takana to say b'fanai nechtam, even if you're going from one place to another place in Eretz Yisrael. And finally, inami, a third nafkamina would be ba'isim b'medina b'medina sayam. What would be if a shliach brought a get and he's giving it
to a woman, ba'isa medina, but it's a medina sayam. And again, if the cheshbon is l'fisha in bikin l'shma, you're medina sayam. So you have to make sure that it was written l'shma. If the cheshbon, however, is l'fisha in edim, it's suing l'kaimo, here it's oisa medina. If it's oisa medina, people are going to know the edim. It'll be very easy to figure this out. And as a result, it would not be necessary to say, b'fanei nechtav or b'fanei nechtav. We're going to stop the daf here. So again, the Mishnah, the first Mishnah, the Masechta, talks about the takana, the chazal of Masakim, and that is that a shliach that brings a get sometimes has to say b'fanei nechtav or b'fanei nechtav. Number one, it's dafka if the shliach brings the get. If the husband brings the get, he doesn't have to say b'fanei nechtav or b'fanei nechtav. Why? So we have to go through this a little bit better, Be'ezus Hashem. But the halach is it's only if a shliach lahilach is the one that's bringing the get. Where he's bringing it from and where he's bringing it to makes a very, very big difference. What's the aside of the takana of b'fanei nechtav or b'fanei nechtav? Machlik is Rabbi and Rav. According to Rabbi, it's based on the fact that in Medina Sayyam, the Seifrim were not baki in the halacha of Lashma. It's a very roundabout, long scenic way of determining that the Ksiva Saget was per the halacha of the Kasav law. It was written Lashma. According to Rava, it's based on the fact that a get isha doesn't need kiyum shtaris, but that's great. If you'll need the kiyum shtaris, you'll be able to mekayim the shtar. But if the get's coming from far away, there's a concern that the husband will be ma'ar, which is his right to do, and if you'll have no ability to be mekayim the shtar, now what? So therefore, Chazal preempted this, and they made a takana that you should say, b'fanei nechtav u b'fanei nechtav. So as it relates to raid on today's daf, I was thinking, Dover Be'itay Matoy, we're standing at Hashem in the Altnai Shul in Prague. I thought it's kedai to talk about one of the most famous, if not the most famous, gittin of all time, which took place in Europe in the latter part of the 18th century, which had ripple effects and ramifications, not only in Hilchis Gerishin, but in Halacha in general, and in Hashkofa in general. And it was something that featured very, very, very prominently in the city of Prague, and specifically with the Obezna of Prague of the latter part of the 18th century, Rabbi Cheska Landau, the great Noidbi Yehuda. So just a little bit of background as it relates to the story of what's known as the Get Mikliva, the Get of Cleves. So the story began in the year 1766, Paf Kuf Chavav, in Germany. There was a man, his name was Isaac, or more popularly known then as Itzik Nyberg. He lived in Mannheim, Germany, and he was set to marry a girl whose name was Leah Gunzhausen. She was from Bonn, Germany. The wedding was to take place in Mannheim, which was where Itzik was from, and it was going to take place sometime in the summer. Either way, summer comes, the mishpachas come together a few days before the wedding, which was going to be on a Tuesday night, and immediately when the kala's mishpacha met the chassan, they realized he was a little eccentric, and there was something that was making them feel a little bit uncomfortable. Ad kedei kach, that Leah's parents, the kala's parents, weren't comfortable moving forward with the shidduch, standing under the chuppah, unless they met with him and they tried understanding a little bit this, what they thought was odd behavior. So they sit down with him and they say, is everything okay? Everything's amazing. I'm looking forward to Shetovim and Slachas, King this beautiful Chassidim to build a Bayis Nevim be Yisrael. They say, yeah, but I understand, but something seems to be a little bit funny. He says, oh, you mean because I'm in a little bit of a bad mood? No, it's true, I am. But the reason is because, you know, my father had promised me an apartment that we would move into after we get married. Turns out my sister got engaged around the same time, and he decided instead of giving me the apartment, he's instead going to give it to my sister, and that's why I'm a little bit mavulvul, but no, everything is fine, I can't wait for the chasana. Okay, they heard it seemed to have made sense. There was a wedding, there was a first Sheva Brachas, a second Sheva Brachas, third Sheva Brachas, everything was going great. Shabbos morning, the kala, Leah, wakes up, she's looking for her husband, ve'einenu, ki loka chose elikin. Starts asking around, did anybody see Itzik? Where did he go? Nobody knows where he is. They looked here, they looked there. Finally got to the point, they started getting worried. They called the Polizei. Polizei couldn't find them. They set up this very, very large perimeter. And then finally, 4 hours away from where they were, they found Itzik hiding in a barn that belonged to a non-Jew underneath a stack of hay with a wad of cash in his pocket. They said, Itzik, is everything okay? He said, I'll be honest with you, not everything is okay. So what happened? So I can't tell you what happened. because there's some really dangerous people that are after me, but my life is in really, really great danger. The police said, don't worry about it. We're going to provide you with a security detail. We're going to bring you back home. Your wife is waiting for you. Your mishpacha is waiting for you. There's a big Shabbat Shev brachas that was set up. Come with us, and everything is going to be okay. So Itzik shows up. They get together. I'm assuming it was a shtickle awkward, but they come and they travel the rest of Shabbos together. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, they finish the Shabbat brachas. And then the mishpacha says, you know something, maybe Mannheim is not the best place for this young couple to settle. Maybe it would be a better idea if they go to Bonn. That's where Leah was from. And we'll go there, and maybe those scary people won't be there, and it seems to be a little bit more appropriate. And everybody thought that that was very, very reasonable. So the mishpacha comes together, and they set out, and they're going to go to Bonn. So who's going? The Chus and Kala obviously are going. The Kala's parents and their entourage, meaning all the people that had been malad them for this simcha, these are the people that are going together. So as they're traveling together, the shalom bias of this Chus and Kala, right, got off to a little bit of a rocky start. It's already not so good, and it's awkward, and it's not so geschmack, and Itzik keeps on talking about how his life is in danger, and this is very, very scary, and he thinks he needs to run away to London. That's where he's going to go. In London, he thinks he's safe, and that's something that he needs to do. And this Leah realized that, you know, maybe this shidduch wasn't such a good idea. You know what? Let him run to London. Just give me a get. And like this, I'll be fine. I'll be able to marry somebody else. And he actually thought it was a good idea as well. So they decided that they're going to get divorced. They needed a rav, however, to be misabed the get. Now, they were traveling. They were en route. So they weren't in Mannheim, which is where he was from. They're not in Bonn, which is where she was from. So they had to find some neutral site where they're going to go, and they're going to find a Masad to get, some rabbi, a chesime, a mesira, it's going to be law lishma. They're going to work it out, and like this, they're going to be able to get divorced. And one of the people that was part of the group of the Kala's Mishpacha was a yid by the name of Rab Shimon Kopenhagen, who, although is maybe not one of the most famous rabbanim of that era, but through his involvement in the Get Mikliva actually became quite well known, quoted very, very often in the Tshuvas. He said, I know about 100 miles from here, there's a city called Klif. We know it's Cleves. There's a very, very chashuv rav there. His name is Rabbi Yisrael Lipschitz, and we're going to go to him, let him be misadet the get. So they go to Rabbi Yisrael Lipschitz. They arrive about 2 weeks to the day for when the chasimah took place. Rabbi Yisrael Lipschitz meets the man, he meets Itzik. He meets the Kala, he meets Leah, he speaks to this Rav Shimon in Copenhagen, finds out all the different details, and he decides, there's no question, this marriage should be terminated, and he's the Masader of the get, he writes the get, he gives it to her, they're free to get married. This man, in the meantime, is on his way to London, but he goes home first. He goes back to Mannheim, and he tells his parents, by the way, I have some news for you, I got divorced. He says, you got divorced? You just got married, yay, it's not working out, I'm in danger, I have to run to London right now. I just want you to know that I had no choice, I had to give it up. Who gave the get? Who was the Masada of the get? Rabbi Yisrael Lipschitz, the Rav of Cleves, he's the one that was Masada of the get. He says, there was money involved, there was a nadin. He says, no, we worked it all out. Really, how'd you work it out? Well, it turns out she got the much better end of the deal than he did. And when the family heard that, they were furious. And bechlal, they were furious. They felt that this is a young couple, and how do you just go and let this couple get married? The husband's parents should have been consulted on some level. He should know a little bit about what's going on. Nobody said a word. The deal seemed to be very one-sided. It turns out that the reason they went to Cleves from all places, which was pretty far from where they were at the time, they could have gone to some local places, was because Rav Shimon Kopenhagen, who's part of the Kala's Mishpacha, so to speak, the friends and family, thought that that was the right thing to do, and they felt some negias here. Something was very, very off. They didn't like the get. Problem is, he divorced her. But they had an etza. They consulted with one of their rabbanim friends, whose name was Rav Tevel Hess. And Rav Tevel Hess said, let's be honest, we know Itzik. Itzik is 100% beseder. He's a shoita. He ran away on Shabbos, in the middle of the Shabbos Sheva Brachas, with money. He's hiding in a barn underneath a stack of hay because they want to kill him, and the only place he's safe is in London. That's not exactly such a normal story. A shoita can't divorce his wife, because a shoita has to be a bardas. Now, it's interesting. A shoita maybe could receive a get. That's a whole different sugya. But whether or not he can divorce his wife is easy. That's not a shaylah. The Torah says, "V'nasa b'yadav." You have to have das. And if you don't have das, there's no way that you can give your wife a get. So they timed it that this get is not even a get in the first place. The problem is the Pebble Hess didn't have the places to go ahead and to say that a get that was given was really not a good get. So he decided that he knows someone who sits on the great Besdin of Frankfurt. This is all taking place in Germany. I'm going to send it to the Frankfurt Besdin, Uberoysham, Rab Avram Abish, who is the Besdin of Frankfurt, and I'm going to send it to them. I'm going to tell them the story exactly the way it happened, and let them pass, and you'll see, they'll be machria, that Itzik was not bedaito in order to be able to give a get, and like this whole thing is going to go away. The kachar, they send a message to the Frankfurt Besdin, and the Frankfurt Besdin is ma'ayinin, the Indian. They do some due diligence, and Nimnu v'gomru, they paskin that this Itzik, Hassan Danan, was not mit the alamin. He's a shaita lahalacha. He has no ability to divorce his wife. And they put out a kol koyim. And they said, I want you to know that this woman who's walking around and she's acting like she's a pnuya, she's not a pnuya, she's an eish ish, and any person that's going to marry her is going to be oivachadi krisus, and the children are going to be mamzerim. There's no question in the world that he did not have the ability to divorce his wife. When the girl heard this, Rachmana Litzlan, I received the get, I got it from a choshava of Bezdin, Rabbi Yisrael Lipschitz, who was Meforzai. He wasn't the Frankfurt of Bezdin, but he was a choshava Rav. He says, what's going on over here? So they went and they decided that they're going to go to Rabbanim and they're going to tell their side of the story. So they go to different Rabbanim, they tell their side of the story. The word got out, chavre islay, the chavre islay. And in this case, it was Gaivid. The guided this way. All the Abbezins and Klal Yisrael, they all chimed in and they all got involved and opined on what exactly the status of this situation was. And Ruba of the Ga'onim of this man all held that the get was a good get. There's no question. And the Dayanim of Frankfurt were wrong. Now, just to get a sense of who was involved, Rabbi Yaakov Emden wrote extensively on the get of Cleves. The Pnei Yeshua wrote about the get of Cleves. The Shnagas Aryeh Paskin Behechlet, that this woman was able to get married. The Merkavis HaMishkan, Rav Shloim HaChelamoy, he wrote about the get Mikleves. And the Noida B'Yehuda, the Abbezin of Prat, he also wrote about the get Mikleves. And they all said that as far as we're concerned, this woman 100% was divorced. When the Frankfurt Bezdin heard all the Rabbanim coming out against them, they were very, very disappointed. We paskin. What do you mean? We paskin. The Shiloh was brought to us. And once we pass in a shayla, you can't just go in your base medish and decide that a snack that we said is wrong. It's not so posh. You're going against the best. Then this is something that we pass in. So the rabbanan said, I hear. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. But at the same time, so explain to us why you feel differently than we do. And they said a dover chidish v'noira ad l'moid, which took on a life of its own and really was the key nakuda for why the get mikleves became so important historically. The Frankfurt Besdin said, we don't owe it to you. I'm sorry. You're all very chashid. But we don't owe it to you to explain to us the psak that we had. We were Besdin. This shayla was brought to us. We presided over this din Torah. And we decided that this man is a shaytan as a result. He's not able to divorce his wife. You want me to explain it to you? Rabbi Yaakov Emden, Shagas Aryeh, Echteis, I'm not a. And as a result, this is our psak, and we stand by that psak. And the Rabbanan said, Rabbi Nishalayim, have a right to do that. What do you mean? We're talking and learning. It's not so posh. How am I going to fry over here? Just because you're the biggest Besdin in Klal Yisrael, or Shekein or Shalom, it doesn't matter. You have no right to do that. This is not the way Messiah works. It's not the way Halacha works. And if somebody wants the question, they have a right to question, and you owe us an explanation. They didn't feel that they were owed an explanation. And as a result, the Rabbanim, Uberoshon Benoit of Yehuda, felt that he had no choice, and he had to come out very, very stark. And I just want to be machmir that the Benoit of Yehuda was one of many Rabbanim that played a very, very important role in the get of Cleves, but according to most, the Noid of Yehuda played the most important role. And the reason is the Noid of Yehuda, his whole kavana in this Indian was to try to make shalom, and he reached out to the Frankfurt Besdin and said, don't you see what's going on over here? It was tutzachta in the Welt because of this. And we have to figure out a way to do it. And in fact, the Noid of Yehuda's son, Yakivka, who we'll talk more about later, when he wrote Divrei Hesped on his father, the Noid of Yehuda, in the Akdama to Madura Tinyana of Shnayla Sechufas Noid of Yehuda, he talks about the role of his father, not just as a poisik and a manik, but as a politician, as someone that was able to not just be Oysa Shalom B'mroimo, someone on that level. He mentioned two examples. He says, the role that my father played in the machloikis between Rabbi Yonis and Ibish and Rabbi Yaakov Emden, and he said the role that my father played in the story of the Get Mikleves. He said the role that he played was legendary. It was legacy defining as far as who the Noida Yehuda was as a manig, as a lamdin, and as someone that was very, very stark, but at the same time, bedarkei anava and bemidas atznius. And then it says, we have six tshuvas, and shalosh tshuvas Noida Yehuda, on the topic of get me clears. In preparation for this, you see, I went through all six. They're not shayach in the level. It's unbelievable. There's so much there, and obviously we don't have the ability to go through this properly. But just to get a little bit of a hergish, a little bit of a sense of what's going on in these tshuvas, of the six tshuvas, one of them is very long. One of them is like 15 pages long, where he goes through the lumbus of the sugya. At the end of the day, we're not historians. We leave that for our chaverim. We're more in the lane of dafyoni, and as a result, we'll stick a little bit more to the halacha, but just to get a little bit of a sense of what's going on. Just going to read a few paragraphs. Again, a mamish being boirer, oichol mitoich oichol, in terms of which lines to read, because if we went through all 15 lines, I think it's all 15 pages, I think it's riveting. But I'm just going to mention a few lines. So this is a letter that was written to the Gaivit of Frankfurt, Rabbi Abram Avish, by the Noida Yehuda. And by the way, the Noida Yehuda was obviously the Av Bez in the Prague, but he was a little bit younger than he was Soif Yom. So this is in 1766, 1767. The Yehuda was Nifter in 1793, just to get a little bit of a perspective of how old the Noida Yehuda is at the time. So he said, Solu Oznai, Bekoila Shmua. Says, my ears heard a cry. Zaka so isho haluva maros leya bas Rabbi Yaakov mibuna asher neskarshe mibayla Rab Itzik ben Rab Leize mimenhoi v'amasadra get hu chocham b'Yisrael harav hamoy hagoy lamufursim l'shvach zokim v'yoshev yeshiva min ura v'adata Rabbi Yisrael of Bezden dekilo kedosha klif v'amedino b'tziruf v'ata arye sho'ag milo yira she'ova ho arye misivchoy imbade guroysa. There's a lion I hear roaring, together with his little, the little lion. So he says, who is that? Who choy da rabba goyin am a person ba toiro, u bachsidus, Rabbi Avram of Bezlin, the Frankfurt of mine, who's not shayach. Him, he has one choshev of Bezlin in Mino, he has another choshev of Bezlin in Smoyloi, one Bezlin is more famous than the other Bezlin. And these fucking dinim, they put out a cruise, and they said that this woman is becheskas, eshes ishkaima, the cholat dvarim get bottle who the gamri the shemu teres afilu the kohuna and yomus baigla hamagar shana. There's no question in the world that this woman is not divorced. For isha and alza yekes krushani hatireni li nase. What are you talking about? I got a get from a choshev of a bezdin. How do you have a right to say this? The rabba misadre and Rabbi Yisrael Lifshitz soyeg shekol devem shalchach me frank for the mind who rak lekino lesinah. He says fishahu meyin shebeget hanal emay shum doifi venase kedasu kahalacha. And all the rabbanim, they reached out to the Bezdin of Frankfurt. They said, explain yourself. Why are you doing this? The Mesadre gets a Gadol B'Torah. Wasn't a Kal, it was a Gadol B'Yisrael. He said that that's a good get. Why are you saying otherwise? The Yifrushu Taima V'Nimukam K'roi L'chol Chachmei Yisrael. This is the way it's supposed to be. You have to explain yourself. But they refuse to explain themselves. This is what we think, and we're not mechuyev to talk to you. And nobody has a right to talk about. He says, you know, I know they said that. I'm not relying on. They sent this to me. That's how I know. Zoktach Noida Yehuda. Shumu Shamayim Alzeh. Umei Oylem Loi Shamanu Mei Aviseinu Vizekneinu Kozeh. Va'ad Rabbo. Kol Chach Mei Yisrael. Hoyu Meritzim Tshuva Yiseyim Zelazeh. The history of Jewish people is you talk. You interact. Va'agdoilem Hoyu Nishmal Miktanim. Umei Mivosta Ores Lein Nasa Bizoyim L'chol Chach Mei Ador. Kashin Nasa Bizmaneinu U'bedoireinu Mei Yisdayone. Kivu Kedoshe Frankfurt Amayim Bekruzana. Shnegozru Oymer. Al Kol Chach Mei Ador. Shlo Yedag Uzeh Bezeh. They mamish paskin Al Ula Chach Mei Ador. Uki ilu kulam talmideyen. V'nechshobim l'moir halacha b'fnei rabbi. That any other person that's going to opine on the get me cleaver is l'moir halacha b'fnei rabbi. Zoktinoy b'yudah. V'afim hoya adover kei. Let's say it was true. Halei rishlokish talmideh shor Rabbi Yochanan hoya. Reish Lakish was a Talmud Rabbi Yochanan, the Nechlakal of Baharmi Mekoinis, and he always argues with him. For like Hikpid Rabbi Yochanan al Mayoilam, there's not one Gemara Rabbi Yochanan has a Kepeda on Reish Lakish, the Kachu Darkish al Kairos, and Makshiv is a Mefarim. And this is something that they went ahead and they violated. He goes on to Yehuda and he says that I sent many letters to the Beis Din, and the Beis Din felt that they didn't owe me an answer. So he says, I'm reaching out to you now, Rabbi Avraham Abish, the of Beis Din. Maybe you're going to talk to me. And he tells him, I understand why the Beis Din doesn't want to talk. They don't know who I am. And they understand that they're very, very chashuv, and I'm not, and it's rather true. He says, but you and I, we go back. We go back years. Maybe they went to yeshiva together. Maybe they went to brother place together. I don't know. But he says, we go back a very, very long time. And as a result, you know that I'm not as chashuv as you. But I'm kedai at least to talk to you a shtickle of learning. So please, can you explain yourself a little bit? And, you know, maybe this is something that you can explain to me. Maisa, Rabbi Avraham Abish, took the same position that the Dayanim of Prague took. And he said, I'm not responding to you. The Dayanim of Frankfurt took. And he said, I'm not responding to you. And he explained himself a little bit. Like, Yehuda's Miram is maybe what the explanation was. But it doesn't even matter, because the Rebbe Yehuda dismissed it and he thought it had no place. And at the end of the day, he didn't really give him any good explanation for what they did. There was another thing that bothered the Rebbe Yehuda terribly. And that is that the Beis Din of Frankfurt, when they opined on this get, they never met with Leah. They never met with the Kalim. And this is halach in Shulchan Aruch, that a Beis Din can't pass in the Shaila unless the two Bali Dinim are standing in front of him. And the Rebbe Yehuda said, how is it possible that you overlooked such a mefurish halach? Because I don't know one real Beis Din that would have ever done that. I pasha don't understand. How is it shayach in the Welt you would do such a thing? So the Rebbe Yehuda said, I think this is the reason. I think you got involved a little bit. And then there was some Midas Royce that got involved in this whole Indian. There was Kas, and there was Gaiva. And he says, I know how choshev you are. You're tzaddikim. You're mamish like Hillel. Hillel Azokim. Oh, but the Gemara Azokim that Hillel was once Balachal Gaiva, the Maisa with the B'nai B'seira. Could you bring a carbon Pesach on Shabbos? And because of that, he was Balachal Tois. And you're on the Madreig of the Moshe Rabbeinu from the Dar. That's what he tells Rabbi Mabashal. You're Moshe Rabbeinu. No Shiloh. You're Moshe Rabbeinu. You're Moshe Rabbeinu. Incidentally, he keeps on writing that every letter that I wrote Bahava Rabu Bahavas Oilam. He was Machmiya himself on such a level. It's a Musar Shmuz. I'm telling you, you don't have to learn the Seal Sashar. You can learn the Noid Behuda the way he spoke to the Chachmei Frankfurt the Mayan, and this is Mamash Musa. But the bottom line is, he said Moshe Rabbeinu was Balach Al Kas. And with Bob Khal Kas, with Bob Khal Toys, he says, I'm not being choshed you. What am I saying? That you were Bob Khal Gaivas, you were Bob Khal Toys? Hillel Azokim was also. You were Bob Khal Kas, you were Bob Khal Toys? Moshe Rabbeinu was also. It's a machzachazai. This is what happens. And as a result, he said, but the bottom line is, you made a terrible, terrible mistake, which means, number one, I don't understand you, but also it means that your din is stamazoi, not a din. Because even if a Beis Din paskins, and you want to tell me you could be mafalful in halacha, whether it has a cheshbon or doesn't have a cheshbon, but that's if they did what they were supposed to do. You never executed properly. Because you never met with the two Bali Dover, and as a result, your whole din is batul umavutul, and because it's batul umavutul, therefore, I'm not going to regard anything that you said. Now, the Noid said like this. As it relates to this get, is it a good get or is it not a good get? He says, really, I shouldn't have to say anything. Because Rabbi Yisrael Lipschitz was the Masada get. He said it was good. So what are we being ma'ir now? Like, what am I doing? I'm going to start questioning it. There's no reason for us to question it. But because this became such a big tumult in Klal Yisrael, and because the Beis Din, this is who he's talking to, you took such a strong position one way, I feel that the right thing to do is to objectively sit down and learn the sugya, and as a result, we're going to get to the bottom of whether this get is a good get or not. Now, we're not going to objectively sit down now and learn the sugya, because that's just going to take too long. But there is a little toyamel that I think is worth having, because it brings out the lumdis chelik of how the Noid of Yehuda approached this. So really, at the core of this shayla, of whether or not Itzik was able to divorce his wife Leah or not is whether Itzik had a din of a shaita or he didn't have a din of a shaita. So really what we need to do is we have to learn Hilcha Shaita. So tonight we're giving the Zion Masechta Shaita, and now we have to learn Hilcha Shaita. So we have to sit down and we have to learn the halachas here of a shaita to understand what's the title of a shaita. What's made a shaita in halacha? Okay, so we all have maybe our own preconceived notions of what a shaita is. But that's not the question. The question is not what American law says a shaita is, or what we think a shaita is. The question is, what Chazal says a shaita is. And the emes is, it's a mefurish Gemara. It's a Gemara in the Sechtes Chagiga, Daf Gimel Amidais. The Gemara brings a braisa. The Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanu, Ezeu Shoyte. This is the big question. Ezeu Shoyte, it's a braisa. Look, the Gemara, Hayoitzi Yechidu Balayla. If somebody goes out outside by night, all by himself, Valon Bebeis HaKfaris. If somebody sleeps in a Beis HaKfaris, Tami Karei, Ez Ksusa, if somebody tears his begotten, that person is a Shoyte. The Gemara brings a Machlikis HaMayra. Rav Huna said, Achiyu Kulum Bebas Achas. This person has to do all of them bevas achas. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Afilu beachas mihen." And the Gemara comes out to move him. We always pass like Rabbi Yochanan. The halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan that if a person shows symptoms of one of these three things, he's a yoytzi yechidi balayla, he's a lomba beis hakfaris, he's a mekareya es susay. The halacha is that he has a din of a shoyta. The Gemara later brings another price that says, "Ezeu shoyta zehamaabin kol mashanoisim." Everything you give him, he loses. This person is also considered a shaita. The bottom line is, if you go through the sugya, this four simonim muvhakin of us is a shaita. Number one, a yoytzi yechidi balayla. Number two, a lomba beis hakfaris. Number three, a mekareyas ksusa. And number four, it's someone that's ma'avid kol mashanoisim. It's a very, very big machloikis rishonim. How to understand pashup shot in this gemara. The Beis Yosef, Vilchus Gerishin, brings from two rishonim, Rabbeinu Simcha, and Rabbeinu Avigdor, that both said that these simonim of the Gemara daf, that it's only someone that has these exact simonim, ehis nashoyim. But anyone else, even if it's me'inyim, le'inyim, ba'isa inyim, it doesn't matter. It's not going to be considered a shoyta. Chazal said, ezeu shoyta, and they didn't give you like a general class, they gave you specific examples of what a shoyta is. Okay, so either you meet these criteria, you can check off one of these four boxes, or you can't. If you could, you're a shoyta, a shrech of a toivla, and it's not, and you're not, and as a result, you're going to be considered a pikeach, l'chol davar. The Rambam, however, is chayla. The Rambam is, in Hilchos Eidos, it's perik tes. The Rambam is halacha test. Rambam says as follows: Hashoyta posle edus menatayr. A shoyta is posle edus menatayr. The fisher ain't ben mitzvahs because he's not chayv in mitzvahs. The loy shoyta shum halich orim umeshabekay. V'zoyrik avon milvad. Not just those three interesting examples. Our kol mishen nitrufadaitoy. Any person that has a tirufadas. V'nimtzas daitim eshubeshes tamid bedavim menatvarim. And you find very often that his das is meshubesh in one zach. Even though when it comes to all things, it's what we know as the shoyta bedavarecha. It doesn't matter. This person is a apostle, and he's going to be considered a shoyta. In other words, the Rambam's mufurish, that the Rambam doesn't have to be dafka, the simonim of the Gemara Masechtas Chagiga. These are just the advice. But kein l'chachom v'yechkamoy, pun intended. And as a result, any person that has anything similar to that would also be considered a shaita. Bottom line is, it's a machloikis rishon. Now that's pashit. That Chassan Benan, Reb Itznik, he was somebody that his shtus was coming over the fact that he thought people were trying to kill him. And really, he couldn't check off any of the boxes that the Gemara mentions in the Masechtas which means that according to Rabbeinu Simcha and Rabbeinu Avigdor, really, Itzik being a shoyta, the whole notion of it is dead on arrival. He's a kipi keach l'chol davar. It's only like the Rambam. Oh, but the Rambam is doch, Rabbin Shekol b'nei ha-goyla, is doch moron. We, of course, paskin like the Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch brings the Lashon and a Rambam. And as a result, it's based on the sheet of the Rambam that this was a question. And that is Itzik a shoyta or is Itzik not a shoyta? So the Rebbe said a few things, just namish, right away. He said, what's the symptom that this person is showing? He's scared. He thinks people are trying to kill him. That makes you a shaita? If you think people are trying to kill you, does that mean you're a shaita? Well, it depends if people are really trying to kill you or not. But if he thinks that maybe people are trying to kill him, that in and of itself doesn't make him a shaita on arrival. It doesn't necessarily mean that that's the case. And the Rebbe Yehuda says that I know that Rabbi Srob Lipschitz told me that he met with this Itzik. He asked him, who's trying to kill you? He told him, swore him to secrecy, but he was made that it was a real reason. It was a real, real reason. And because it was a real reason, you have no right to go ahead and call him a shaita. Mechateisni. He was a pachtin. That's what he was. Maybe this was real. Because he has anxiety, maybe. I don't know. Doesn't make you a shaita, said the Neudebute. And Befrat, we know what it was. Now, one of the tainas that the Frankfurt Bezdin had is that he ran to London, and now all of a sudden he came back. Vayuva. Now, there's no issue. So said the Neidah Behuda, what does that mean? That can mean one of two things. Either it can mean that risk, that danger is no longer clear and present, or he says maybe now he's acting like a shaita. Because maybe really he should have been afraid, and as Kimar Nashtikal HaShaita Yetz, he says, you know what, even though my life is at risk, I'm going to live dangerously. I'm coming back. But he says, you don't know. The only person that knows is Rabbi Yisrael Lipschitz. Rabbi Yisrael Lipschitz met with him and he said it wasn't a problem. He said another thing. The Knesset HaGdolah says that this that the Rambam says, that a person that's a shoyta b'davar echad has a din of a shoyta, it's only if in that davar echad he's a shoyta gomer. Meaning he's any day bein toiv l'ra or bein ra l'toiv. But let's say as a shtikla shoyta, a bissel tzafidl. That doesn't make you a shoyta in halacha. You have to be a shoyta gomer. Says, I didn't hear any simonim ufakim that he's a shoyta gomer in this inyan. He showed certain things of a shoyta gomer now. He said, besides for that, if you look at the Lashon HaRambam, the Rambam's Lashon is that love dafka, this the aforementioned Simon, El Kol Mishin Nitra for Daita. The Nibsen's Daita Mishu, Beshes Tomid, Pedover Minadvar. This wasn't Tomid. Rambam says Tomid. It wasn't Tomid. You have a Maisa here. Really, the big story that the Frankfurt Besdin was hinging on was the fact that he ran away on Shabbos. That story is the smoking gun, right? But the problem is, it happened one time. That's not Tomid. And because it wasn't Tomid, I don't know if that's enough to turn him into a shaita. Now, you just said even more than that. What happens if you have a person that Amoli's a shaita, Amoli's not a shaita? What's the first Gemara? The Gemara says this Rosh Hashanah, Dav Chof Hei Amid Aleph, Dav Chof Ches Amid Aleph. The Gemara says, someone that's eaten shaita and eaten cholim. This man shaita, who's shaita, areu, kishaita, l'chol davar. Who is man shaita, who's cholim, areu, kishaita, l'chol davar. So he said, as I, Afilu no niyach. This is a very important punchline. Afilu no niyach, that you know with 100% certainty that his symptoms make him into the Rambam Shoyta B'davar Echad. But you would also have to know that he was a Shoyta at the time that he gave the get. Because he's not always a Shoyta. It was clear from the story. When they met him, he seemed a little off. And then by the chasin, he was gewaldic. Friday night, Shabbos Shevebrach, he was praving. Shabbos day, can't even find him. Then he comes back, everything is good, and then he's giving again. Right, so he seems to be Itim Cholim and Itim Shaita. He's textbook Rosh Hashanah Chav Ches Amid Aleph. So really, the question is not even so much as he a Shaita now. The question is, what was his status at the time that the get was given? And he said there's only one person in the world that knows that. Rabbi Yisrael Lipschitz. And Rabbi Yisrael Lipschitz was made that he was cholim at the time that he gave the get. So if he was made that he was cholim at the time that he gave the get, what are we talking about? What is the sugya? What exactly is the discussion? He's the only person that would know. I read that another time. He says, you're telling me that you think he was a shaita, and therefore he can't divorce his wife. If he was a shaita, how'd he get married? The chasna happened 2 weeks before the gerushin. He was already showing simon in front of the chasna. That was the first time they had this little get together. So tonight we just have the man of shach. He made him with a svek sveik with a whole wonders. But tonight we this point. But Loshan Amami is the man of shach. If you hold he's a shaita and he can't divorce his wife, so then he's a shaita. He had no ability to get married either. But anyway, this is a sense, a feel for what's going on tonight, Yehuda. Let me just say one other thing. He said, your whole idea of disrupting this get is based on what? It's based on the Shitas HaRambam. That the Rambam holds in the Shoyte B'davar Echad. Okay, Kedai HaRambam, right? But at the same time, it's under the Shitas Oichet. There's a Shita of Rabbeinu Simcha, and there's a Shita of Rabbeinu Avigdor. And he says the Beis Yosef brings these two Shitas in Hilchis Gerishin. It's a Mefurish of Beis Yosef and Simcha Kuf Yotes. Why did the Beis Yosef bring it? Because he's not supposed to be Chayesh for it, then he wouldn't have brought it. He brought it because Al-Kopanim, as a sniff, you have to be Chayesh for it. And according to those Shitas, as Zecher not a Shoyte. In fact, the Rishonim say it's a little mashma said the Noid B'Yudah. Could be you have to have all three even. But whatever. The bottom line is that he's for sure not a Shoyta. And if that's the case, he says you have a right to get up and say with 100% certainty that you don't have to be chayish for these Shitas of Rishonim when the Beis Yosef Kenira in Hilchis Gittin was chayish for him. And then the B'Yudah said one last thing. And this is brilliant, and this is the last part of this Tshuva that we're going to sneak out. Then the Noid B'Yehuda said, and the emphasis is, I have a diak. This is a diak nifl, mamish, which be zoicha, some sois of you, Noid B'Yehuda, mamish in this place. And that is, the B'Yehuda said, I think that you and others have a choice, even in the Rambam Shita. Let's say, the way we started the sugya is the Gemara Chagiga, where the Gemara says, what's a Shaita? Three Simonim, the fourth Simon. And then we have a Machlokes, Rambam and the Rishonim, whether or not these Simonim are dafka, or these Simonim are lav dafka. The Rambam is the one that seems to say the Simonim Alav Dafka. Where did he say it? Hilchos Eidos, Perek Tes, Halacha Tes. He says, V'loi, Shoyta, Shum, Mahalach, Orem, Meshaber, Kelim, Zerik, Avon, Bavar. Elo, Kol, Misha, Nitra, Vadaita, Vinim, Tis, Taita, Mishu, Beshes, Tomit, Bedover, Min, Advorim. Afa, Pishu, Medaber, Vishol, Ke'inya, Beshar, Advorim, Eriz, Apostle, Bechal, Shoyta, Mi'choshe. Right, it's not often a Rambam. It seems to be non-negotiable. Zok, Tenoi, Debi, Yehuda. That, if you look at the Rambam's Hakdamah, the Rambam starts, he says, Hashoyta posel le'edus min ha-Torah, lefish she'inoy ben mitzvahs. Funny reason. Rambam says, you want to know why Hashoyta posel le'edus? because he's not chayiv in mitzvahs. Shaita doesn't have to put on tefillin. Oh, so he doesn't have to put on tefillin, he's possible eidus. No, he's possible eidus, he's a shaita. How can you say eidus? That's not what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, a shaita is possible eidus, the fish ain't ben mitzvahs. The Kesef Mishnah is matmiya, and the Kesef Mishnah says that I tried chipasti, v'loi motzosi, I couldn't find him according to the Rambam. So the Yehuda says like this, Kesef Mishnah had a kasha on the Rambam. His kasha was that his eyes couldn't find the makar to this Rambam. So that kasha doesn't bother me. Because the inayim of the Rambam so much further than the eyes of even the Beis Yosef were able to see. And ulai ro harambam eze toisefto eze Yerushalmi. And he based it on that. He said the Kesef Mishnah's kasha was bothered me. Of what bothered me, yes, why did the Rambam need a new reason? And what is this reason? But why did he need it? A shaita's possible aid is because he's a shaita. Why does he need a new reason? I would say like this. The emes is, he says, the Rambam throughout his Yad Chazaka talks about the halachas of shaita. Right? Think about how many times in Shas you have a cheresh, a shaita, and a katan. It comes out throughout Shas. And there's only one place that the Rambam wrote the Shtikl Torah, and that's in Perik Tes Hilchas Eidos. And the Rambam said it's a pliyif in Amaisa. He says the Rambam brings this in one place in halacha. This is the only place he brought it. Why did he bring it over here? He says, I think the reason is because the Rambam held like Rabbeinu Simcha, Rabbeinu Avigdor. He held that really the halach is that the only time a person is a shaita is if you can check off the boxes in the Gemara Chagiga. There was one place in halach where the Rambam said a shtikl Torah, and because of a shtikl Torah, he brought a different halach. And thus is in Hilchas Eidos. And what's the shtikl Torah? That a shaita, because he's potim in a mitzvah, therefore he's posulates. And what's the aside of this shtikl Torah? Zok tonight to be who to look a few halachas earlier. And halacha dalet, it's the same parak in Rambam, same page. Ha'avodim sul eidos min ha'Torah. And Eved Kenani is posulates. Shenemar, va'aslisem loy kashazomim lasus wa'ochiv. Adrasha. Michlal, she'ochiv kamoy. The only time you can say eidos is if you're a brother. Right? We're brothers, proverbially speaking, that's when you can say eidos. Ma'ochiv ben bris, hafo eid ben bris. Therefore, kalvachoyma la'akum, and certainly then, not only would a goy be posuladus, not only would an eved be posuladus, but a goy would also be posuladus. Why is it in the kalvachoyma? Because im avod, in shem ben miktsas mitzvois psulin, madach an eved kenadi, that's chayiv in miktsas mitzvois, he's chayiv in all mitzvois, like an isha, he's posul. So akum like koshkein, certainly a goy would be posuladus. The Rambam had a drosho, vasisam loikash lezomam lasis lo'ochim, he has to be ochiv kamo. And from that halacha, we learned that in Eved Kenani and in the Yehudi Apostle Eidos, because they're not chayiv in 613 mitzvahs. In order to be a kosher eid, you have to be chayiv in 613 mitzvahs. Zoktenoid Yehuda, this is poshit. I don't think all the Bati Dinim would have any argument about this. Someone that's a shoita b'dover echad, if there's a mitzvah that's negayah, the dover echad that he's a shoita in, it's poshit he's potter from the mitzvah. Right? What's it negayah? Like the Kotzker Rebbe used to say, the eshte mitzvah in the Torah is nitch design ha-shoita, but ha-shoita is part of the mitzvah. So he says, Abad, if you're a shoita, even b'davar echad, you're a shoita in this Indian, then come over, if I'm a shoita in this Zach, how can you be mechayiv me to do the mitzvah? Echad nish kain das copy there. So the Rambam held that a shoita b'davar echad is not a shoita in Hilchas Shechita, in Hilchas Trumis, and all the different places in halacha. It's just in Hilchas Eidos. Why? It's behemshich to what the Rambam's talking about. Because the shaita b'davar echad is potter from any mitzvah that's negeya, his shigoya, his mishagas. There he'll be potter. And being that he's potter, versus negeya that, he's not chayiv in all mitzvahs. And ochiv means our mitzvahs. Like the Rambam said, Eved Kenani is a smite. Why? So he's also not chayiv in all mitzvahs. And that's why the Rambam only brought in Hilchas Eidos. So he says, I hold that really the Rambam was moided to Rabbeinu Simcha Rabbeinu Avigdor. There was never a machlokes about this. The only time a person's considered a shaita is if you can check off one of the four boxes in Chagiga Daf Gimel Amud Beis and Chagiga Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. This Rambam in Hilchas Eidos, it's only a Rambam in Hilchas Eidos. And the Rambam gave a reason that the Kesef Mishnah was already ma'orah, and the Lachem Mishnah also ayin shom. Knoisa Kalim already mutchit. He says, Abaluleh de Mistafina, and he said it's poshut him, that this is for sure the Rambam. It's so glut, it seems so obvious that this is the Rambam. And then he said, Abaraya Buru, that this is right. Araya Buru. He said, because the Shtur in Shulchan Aruch talks a lot about the laws of Shaita as well. So I'll read to you two of the Shainas of the Torah. This is Hilchas Shechita. Yerudeya Svim and Aleph, Mamash. Cheresh she'inu shemev in a medav. V'shoita. What's a shoita? Ayoitz yichid ba'layla. Oy mekarei ksusai. Oy lom beveis akvarius. Oy me'avei koma she'noistamor. Afilu ba'achas me'elu. Even if a person only checks with one of these boxes. Em oysa derek shtus. Hareza shoita. So the Torah in Perek al-Hilchashchit to Paskin like who? He put the Gemara in Chagiga. He seems to be Shitas Rabbeinu Simcha and Rabbeinu Avigdor. The same exact word in Hilchos Eidos and Siman Lamed He, Snog the Shtur. Shaita Pasal Lehe. The Zeu Shaita. I'll tell you what a Shaita is. Shniyoyt Zichid Balai. The Rambam Kosov. But I count in the Kosovim from the Rambam that the Rambam said. Any person that doesn't think Erech Shlos is the Chalal HaShoytim in Choshev. Said the Noi de Yehuda, why did the Torah only bring the Rambam in Hilchas Eidos? Why did the Torah say the same thing in Hilchas Shechita? You see the Torah Shechita. The Torah is Rabbeinu Simcha Rabbeinu Avigdor. It's pretty clear. The Rambam Kosa, I break the Rambam. Okay, this Rambam in Hilchas Eidos, not from Zustand, so Hilchas Shechita. Why didn't he bring it in Hilchas Shechita? So the Noi de Yehuda said it was Pasha to him. The reason he didn't bring it in Hilchas Shechita is because he understood the Rambam the way I understand the Rambam. And that this Rambam is only Negeya. It's only Negeya Hilchas Eidos, not Negeya Hilchas Shechita. It's not Negeya Hilchas Shechita, that's why I didn't bring it in Hilchas Shechita. But it's not the Noi de Yehuda. We can argue back and forth all day. So this Itzik is a Cholim, so he's a Shechita. I hold very, very stark this knowing the world is a shoyt. And besides, even if he is a shoyt, it would only matter if he was a shoyt at the time that he gave the get. And by the way, you're assuming that he was a cholim when he stood under the chuppah, and he was a shoyt 2 weeks later when he gave the get, which is untenable. And he says, besides, he's only a shoyta if you go like this Rambam in Hilchas Eidos. And as far as I know, the Rambam only said in Hilchas Eidos, he gave a reason. And the Torah only brought in Hilchas Eidos. And what's Rabbeinu Simcha Rabbeinu Avigdor? Well, we're machin avektis v'shoyim. He said, as far as I'm concerned, this is my sugya. And he said, Ech betach nochamo, behachno. He says, I know I'm not worthy. And I know you're the best in Agadol. And I understand all the adjectives that he gave. Bahava rab, bahava son, you have to see it to believe it. But he said, I'm just telling you now, ein ladayin alamashe, ein avroyas. And the Chachmei Yisrael don't have an obligation to listen to the Bezdin of Frankfurt. We have to do what we think. And it's hush it to me. Unless you tell me that I'm missing a piece of information and there's something that I don't know, that this is the way it has to be. And then the Rebbe said as follows. He said that even though to me it seems pretty clear that this woman is able to get married, but at the same time, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait Yud Beis Chodesh from when the Frankfurt Beis Din said their thing. And it's based on an obscure halacha that a Beis Din maybe doesn't have to explain themselves right away, and they have up until 12 months before they explain themselves. So he said, I'm going to wait 12 months, and if 12 months pass and you don't explain yourself, I'm going to have no choice. I'm going to have to say what I say. It got late early, but if you look at the end of this long tshuva, he writes a poem to the Chachmei Frankfurt. A betzach, he's begging him. This machloikis, this bezoyin that's happening now to this yid, Rabbi Yisrael Lipschitz, the Chachmei Ador, Shagas Aryeh was involved, and we're being the vaz of these great tzaddikim, these great ge'onim. What are we asking you for? Explain yourself. Just explain yourself. Just explain. It's all I'm asking for. They refused. They didn't budge. The next tshuva, the Chassam Sofer at the Noid of Yehuda, starts singing a little bit of a different tune. And this is already, just if you understand, if you look at the dates. So this all started in Tav Kuf Chav Vav. And then this whole Maisa with the Chachmei Frankfurt went into Tav Kuf Chav Zayin. This is Shabbos Shuva Tav Kuf Chav Ches. The Noi de Yehuda writes a letter about what he spoke about during the Shabbos Shuvah drasha. He says he got up and he gave a drasha, and he said, "Akina v'atayva v'akoven moitzin as the adam and oyla." And he said, "Unfortunately, this is something that we just witnessed in our generation. We had great chachamim, geonim, tzaddikim, people that gave up their whole life for the Eibishta, but because of abyssal kina and abyssal kovid, it was mamish moitzin them in oyla." And he spoke very, very sharp. And he said that somebody came to me, and people, they told me that I should get up and I should put them in cheder. He said, unfortunately, I don't have to put them in cheder. I don't have to. He said, because Rabbeinu Tam already put them in cheder. There's a cheder for Rabbeinu Tam that if someone's moitzi laz on to get kosher, they're in cheder. So I have nothing to be moitzi about. Rabbeinu Tam already said, he spoke very, very sharp. And then he said that it's poshet to me, that the Yud Beis Chodesh already passed, and this woman is, without question, mutter to get married. And he says, v'hinini nishba b'rabu. He says, I'm going to swear by Rabin. Kochol niske liyois nashona hazois. Mutar me'agolos hamar. Kishem sho isha hazois muteris l'chol odom yisro. Chutz v'koyhanem ukroi. Because she's a grusha and she can't marry a koyin. And obviously a korev is also someone that she's not allowed to marry. And this is the way he feared ois. This is the way he feared ois his tshuva. It's interesting that there's a postscript. There's a postscript to this story. The postscript is, this drasha was given by the Noi de Yehuda Shabbos Shuvah. The day after Yom Kippur, Mimachras Yom HaKippurim, Rav Avram Abishol was walking home from shul, and he suddenly dropped dead. Died. Halach Loilamai. One of the biggest tzaddikim of the Dar. Whenever he's described, he's not just described as a tzaddik, a chacham, an onav. Incredible. He mysteriously passed away, which was tragic. But in addition to that, it created a vacancy, a very, very large vacancy. Who is going to now become the next of Beis Din of Frankfurt? And the Chevra in Frankfurt got together and they decided that any Gadol Yisrael, any Rav that was on the other side of this argument was not going to be accepted. He won't even be a candidate. His application will be rejected. He cannot become the of Beis Din in Frankfurt. And the problem was that came out every single one of the Groys HaChachmi Yisrael of that Kufa, they were all on the other side. And as a result, they didn't have anyone to be an of Beis Din. A few years passed, and then the next Rav of Frankfurt was appointed. And that next Rav of Frankfurt was none other than the Hafla. The Hafla became the next Rav of Frankfurt. And the reason is because the Hafla had never written anything to the Dayanim of Frankfurt. He had never said anything. But legend has it that although we don't have anything ever written from the Hafla, but really the Hafla had written a tshuva. He had written a tshuva, and he was going to be moichel like the Shagas Aryeh was, like Rabbi Yaakov Emden was, like the Rabbi Yehuda was, like the great Gaon Avilna. But as he finished writing his tshuva, his elbow knocked the inkwell, and it spilled all over his tshuva. And he saw it as a simon from Shemayim that he should never send the tshuva out. And the Hafla became the next Rav in Frankfurt. But Asher Negei L'Inyaneinu, when you think of the Hashkacha and how Preshburg to Prague comes together, because when the Hafla came to Frankfurt, there was a young boy who was living in Frankfurt at the time. His name was Rav Moshe Schreiber, who later would grow up to become a Talmud Muvik of this Rav in Frankfurt, the Hafla, who not only was a Talmud, but his Torah, the Petuchei Chosim that we spoke about, was 100% modeled on the Torah of the Hafla, learn Panam Yafas, learn Chsam Soifritz, me Inyan, me Inyan, Baisa Inyan. And really, that whole Hashkacha of the Chsam Soifer meeting up with the Hafla in Frankfurt was in some way a gram from what took place in Prague, from what took place in the Welt. It was because of the story of the Get Mikleva. Preshburg to Prague, all coming together, just as one final postscript. So what ended up happening with the couple? What happened with Itzik and Leah? You're not going to believe it. But legend has it, they actually remarried. They got married, and they lived happily ever after. So all of this was for naught.